All right, good morning. It is Monday. We're into the month of September and spring is sprung. You can feel it. There's something cool going on in the air and it's not just the smell of jasmine. We've got a busy show for you this morning. We've got lots of exciting things to still get to. I'm going to speak to somebody in a moment or two who is hopefully going to put us exactly in the right mood for not only Monday, but for spring. And if you need a little help, he's probably the guy to help you get there. We'll talk to him in a moment or two. Skip Archimedes, who will be with us in just a short while. And Leanne Moll's here. Look at her in resplendent glory after a weekend of misery, whatever, playing paddle or something.
Get through it all, you know.
Yeah, but she's here. She made it, all right? So that's all that matters. I watched the first three episodes of the Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power thing.
Because
a friend of mine is a massive fan, and he's like, you got to see this. And I thought, all right, I'll get into it. And then, unfortunately, I watched the first one, so I had to watch the second one, and then
I had
to watch the third one. But I don't know how they're releasing them, so I'm not even sure what happens from here. Do they release the next three in a batch, or are they one at a time? So now I'm a little bit hooked, and I don't know what to do about it. It's the first show I've watched
in
a while.
I'm sure there are many, many geeks who will help you out to do next.
Yeah, especially the comment section's probably got some answers for this, but I got into it and I didn't think I would, but it's good. I like it. It's fun. It's fun to watch. There are good characters in there. They've managed to pick up some of the storylines from before. So it's making a lot of sense. I'm enjoying it. But apparently, I'm going to report you to the police and they're going to track you down, says Surviving Life. Wow. This is to someone in the comments section.
Oh, is there a bit of a war going on?
I don't
on.
Know. I mean, there's always something going on there. I thought that was help on Rings of Power, but clearly not. There's like some other power display going on there. All right. Apparently, if you're looking for somewhere to go, there's an Airbnb that's an old train.
Yes, but it's not. It's not local.
Is
right?
it? Where is it? In America?
It is. But to me, this is such a nice idea. Especially, you know, South Africa's got a great history when it comes to trains. Look at our blue train, our Rovos Rail, things like that.
Yeah. No, there's that train in, I think it's Skukuza in the Kruger, on the bridge.
Yes.
That you can also stay in overnight.
And in Mikey's Fontein as well.
Yes, that's right. In the Cape. That's correct. So there are a couple of these.
There's some train restaurants. There was one famously near the Oriental Plaza as well.
Okay.
In Joburg. But yeah, this was just a nice little story. It was, you know, this family who lives in Derry, Idaho, right?
Sounds terrible.
Well, is it dreary Idaho?
Well, I mean, if you've looked at a map of America, Idaho's not like on the main travel route for anybody.
No, certainly not.
You know, I'm going to America. I got to visit Idaho, said no one ever.
No, exactly.
But okay.
So a father and son were called by a neighbor who said they had this old barn and they needed help bringing it down. As they were bringing it down, they found this treasure trove inside, this 1900s rail car or train car.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's what it looked like to start with.
First of all, who just leaves stuff like this lying around?
I know. How do you not know that you have a whole train car on your property?
Wow.
So underneath the barn, underneath the shed.
I mean, it doesn't look like it's in great condition. You say treasure trove, I say dilapidated.
Right. That's exactly what the owner said. The owner said this thing needs to be burned.
Yeah.
They found about 20 cats living in it.
Right. They're the cat ladies again. Absolutely
stank. They found all manner of other creatures in there. It was completely rotted out. And the owner said, right, he's burning it. To which the father happened to be a train enthusiast. Bizarrely, and said, I'll buy it from you. At which point he should have said, you know, I'll take it from you, but he bought it for $3,000.
Wow. The guy was going to burn it, got $3,000 for it.
Exactly.
Just shows suddenly, you don't go burning anything until you're absolutely sure it's worthless. You
know, don't say you're going to burn it. Oh. Be careful.
You sound like a bit of a hypocrite.
So the father painstakingly found some of the original markings inside the train. Started restoring this thing bit by bit with his son, which I thought was a really nice project. They even found a picture inside of the exact car. The date was built in 1906.
Yeah.
The problem was moving it. They actually spent a lot of money trying to move it to a place which would be desirable for an Airbnb situation.
Right.
They didn't have that in mind, but they just wanted a nice spot for it. But to move it was really difficult because it's in such rough shape. You want to try and keep it together.
Kept it in these people's backyard?
No. So they moved it halfway up the hill and had to eventually stop. That cost $10,000. And you start thinking, where's this taking us?
Oh, man. So it sounds like a sunken cost.
Yeah, exactly. But apparently it's such an ideal spot where it is. It's up this halfway up this little hill. And they started working on it. Obviously, COVID struck, so they had nothing more to do.
But look at that.
Started working on it bit by bit, rebuilt the structure so that it looked like a platform,
I mean, that does look quite beautiful.
Pretty amazing.
Maybe it's just a bit of lighting and some love.
Found all the history inside it and lovingly restored it.
Beautiful. Look at that inside.
Found the original paint colors that it would have been and really stuck to what it would have looked like. The bathrooms were, well, there wasn't a bathroom at first.
So you would stay in here. You've got a bedroom.
Yeah, you would stay in there as a couple or a family.
Okay.
If you were wanting to go to the mountains in Idaho for some reason.
Well, I mean, there's good skiing there. It's beautiful in winter and summer. So it's not, I said horrible things about Idaho. I should probably take that back. I've got a friend whose brother lives there. So that's how I even know it exists.
There we go. So all in all, they spent $151,000 all in.
That's a lot of money.
Including the $3,000 for the car. It took them about 6 months to finish. And it then didn't literally blow up. It blew up on the internet.
Yeah.
They booked a 90% occupancy the first year. Quickly became one of the most unique and profitable stays, and it paid for itself in 18 months. It's still going. They priced it at around $325 a night.
My dad is obsessed with trains. I don't know why.
Train people.
I don't know if he's a train person. He's probably a train person.
Yeah.
But he's watching this show at the moment that he keeps telling me about called like Famous Rail Journeys or something. And they've got all these trains that they follow all over the world. There's one that goes through southern Spain. There's obviously the famous ones, the Oriental Express. In South Africa, we've got the Blue Train and Rovos Rail. But he loves them. Keeps schlepping my poor mother along to these trains. She's like, yeah, I like a train. But you could tell she doesn't like it nearly as much as he does. You know?
Yeah.
There are people who love trains.
Yeah.
And we do have good ones in this country. I mean, if you can get onto Rovos or onto the Blue Train, you are having a very nice time. Apparently, it's absolute five-star stuff from beginning to end. So if that's your thing, I think that's pretty wild. Go and do it.
Or if you have an idea of transforming something into not necessarily an Airbnb. Airbnb is getting a bit of a bad rap these days. But into something like that, if you've got the time, the patience.
That sounds good to me.
Mm.
All right, so there we go. There's some fun stuff to do. I'm going to be away. I think it's not next week, the week after.
Oh, have you already booked the train?
The train. No, it's not the train. I'm going to, of all places, Bulgaria.
What?
Yeah. It totally not the sort of place I would choose, but one of our clients is going there for a whole 3 days, 4 days. And I've been invited along, and I think it could be really damned interesting.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, Eastern Europe is somewhere I haven't explored at all. Bulgaria is this fascinating place. I mean, there's a lot of history there, you know, reaching back to the Ottoman Empire, Transylvania.
Is that where they made Ottomans first?
No, Leanne. The Ottoman Empire. You mean the things that you sit on?
Yes, you put your feet up on.
So the Ottoman Empire was Turkey. From about the late 1400s right through until the First World War, so about 1918, when the last Ottoman emperor or sultan would have been deposed. But, I mean, an amazing, amazing place and time, and also hotly contested. That whole area, sort of ancient Macedonia under Alexander the Great, reached up into there, and going through all the periods that came afterwards, it's been just full of really interesting stories. So I'm curious to go. But if you'd said to me, where do you want to go? I don't think Bulgaria would have made my top 50. And yet that's my overseas trip for the year. I haven't done any other international travel.
So you've probably been doing some research. Do you know
not yet
where you're going to be?
No, don't ask me anything
yet. You don't know yet?
I have to tell you in a week's time.
Okay, good.
I haven't even looked yet. But I'm excited.
Yeah,
for
sure.
It'll be fun. I haven't done any serious travel this year at all, which is unusual. So I'm looking forward to it. So that's my plan. All right, let's welcome our guest for this morning. I'm very excited to speak to him. Excited to go to Bulgaria. I mean, this is even better. So we've got a guy here. First of all, I'm going to say his name the way that my Greek friends say it. Skip Archimedes, who is here with us. But his name is Skip Archimedes. He's a transformational holistic health coach, also a motivational mentor and an international speaker. And, you know, we get interesting people popping into South Africa from time to time. And on a Monday and at the beginning of spring, I can't think of a better place or time for us to sit and talk to somebody who can hopefully help us to be better. And that's what people like Skip do. I read a little bit about him. He's overcome extreme adversity to achieve what most people think is impossible. He came back from a back injury to win the English Sports Acrobatics Championship. Yeah, within just 18 months, after he'd begun training again. Unwilling to accept the diagnosis, he went on a mission to find the cure. And with intensive research, in just 6 months, he learned how to walk again. This is incredible.
Wow.
And he's incredible. He's bouncing around the studio at the moment as we speak. Within 18 months, he recovered better than before and won the English Championships. This is unbelievable. What a story. Huh?
We are unbelievable.
Humans or you?
We.
I think that's inspirational, but you got to explain to me how you think everybody's capable of what you are.
Okay, so we've got to make things common sense. This thing that we live in is made.
By the way, hello.
Nice to meet you. So this thing
we're
that we live
straight
in.
Straight into it. I love it.
Straight into it. Let's just dive straight in. So this thing that we live in, this mind and this body is made of trillions of cells. And not once did the cells get confused. Eye cells know how to be eye cells. Liver cells know how to be liver cells. Bone cells know how to be bone cells. Skin cells know how to be skin cells. We're being gifted 50,000 new cells every 3 seconds, which means what? A year from now, most of the cells in your body are brand new cells. Even
that's right.
Bone cells.
You haven't even got atoms that were there at the time you were born.
Exactly. So this is complete. So a year from now, all of this is brand new, apart from bone cells, which in 7 years, that's totally brand new. So what does it mean? If we hold on to the past through what? Belief systems and programming, then guess what? We're going to be pulled back to the past. If we can learn how to let go of that, which is a bit of a challenge, because as soon as something gets in the subconscious part of the brain, it becomes a program. So, and that can seem a little bit negative to people.
All right. Before we get into this, because I really do want to pick this apart with you. I think it's fascinating. And I think you've stumbled on something more of us should know about.
Yeah.
Because then we can make ourselves happier and healthier. Oh. But tell us your story first. I skipped over it very briefly there. But I mean, this back injury, this was not a small thing.
No. So I was in the gym and I'd gone through some major challenges where as a kid, I was riddled with every allergy to animals, to dust, to pollen, to grass, to feathers, was always on some type of drug for my conditions. Mm. And they told me, because every time I moved, I'd have an asthma attack.
Oh,
so I got told by the medical system not to exercise because every time I exercised, I had an asthma attack. I started to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And a friend of mine, his mum ran a gymnastics club. And she said, he needs to do gymnastics. He needs to do sport. He needs to do something. We said, are you crazy? Every time I move, I have an asthma attack. You know, it doesn't make sense. She goes, no.
And you were fat, so you couldn't move a lot.
Not then.
Yeah.
And she said, what makes him weak is decreased workload. She says, because he's not doing anything, he's getting weaker and weaker and weaker.
Right.
So what happened was I went to the gym and of course what happened, had an asthma attack. Went to the gym again, had an asthma attack. But I loved what I was doing because think about this. Why do kids move all the time? Do kids naturally move more than most adults? Yes or no?
Always.
Always. Yeah. Why are they doing that? Because when we move in fun ways, we have these endorphins released from the mind, sends these chemicals out throughout the whole body. It showers the body with feel-good vibes.
So why do we stop?
Because we're being programmed. Now, whether it's intentionally or not, think about it. Your education system, did it make you happy, healthy, wealthy?
Probably none.
I ask this question all over. I get to travel all around the world. I'm in front of thousands and thousands of people all the time. I ask the same question. And do most adults now need to be motivated to move? Yes. Yeah. Why? Because they're not living in their bodies. They're stuck in their heads. And what I tell people, if you're in your head, you're dead. Why?
But Skip, this is so perverse. You're right to ask the question. Surely these systems that we build to try and make people better, to give them a purpose in life, to give them a means to have a happy and successful life, these things should be making us better, not worse.
100%.
And yet they do, as you've just pointed out, the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And we just go, oh, okay, well, this is how it is.
Well, we're not going to change the system.
They just live like that.
That's like standing under a waterfall, thinking that you can push that water back up. You got no chance because the systems are so big. What we have to do is to start to be responsible for ourselves and our part in the game of life. So
just go back to your story.
Exactly. Yeah. So just go back to it. We'll come back to this. So I remember the first time I went and did a gymnastics class and I didn't have an asthma attack. And for me, I was the happiest kid on the planet. For everybody else, it was normal.
Yeah.
And what then happened was I was able to carry on training. I still had to use my asthma sprays all the time, but I didn't have an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got ready to do a competition. It was just a local competition. There was no one good at it. I won it because there was no one good at it. But I remember the coach saying to me, he goes, "Hey, Skip, I reckon you could be one of the youngest kids to get to the Olympics for gymnastics." Now, wow. At that point, now I believe he was just telling me that to make me feel good, but that made an impression on me. And I took it on. And I was like, I went into school and I was saying, my God, I've just been told that I could be like the youngest kid to go to the Olympics for gymnastics. And all the other kids were like, what? What? You should go and tell the teachers that. So I went and told the teachers and the teacher said, well, do you want to say that in front of everyone? I was like, I don't know. Do I? Yeah, go and tell all the kids.
Uh-oh.
So they had me in front of all of like the kids in assembly. And how do you think that went down? I thought I was going to get amazing. But kids were like, really? Well, show me something.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? They would do something. So I started to do a handstand, a cartwheel, a backflip. And I became like the court jester for the school. The kids were like, well, can you somersault off this? Can you jump off of that? And so another kid was like, can you walk on your hands across the whole football pitch? So I'd try everything. Now, absolutely loved doing gymnastics. But then at 11 years old, and it was the only thing that helped my health, help my body.
Yeah.
Most of the conditions that I had, they didn't disappear, but they went down a lot.
Yeah.
And because I was always dosed up on major medication, and that just halved because I started moving the body in fun ways. Literally about 2 weeks after they had me say all this stuff at school, and I'm feeling like a hero at school because kids want to come up to me, you know, and ask me to do things.
That's pretty cool, right?
And it was epic. Anyway, so 2 weeks after that, my mum goes and leaves my dad for my gymnastics coach.
Oh, God.
Oh.
That's nice.
So suddenly, I went from being the cool kid because no families were getting divorced where we were living. Like, there was no one getting divorced. So I went from being the cool kid to being the weird kid.
Oh.
And I had to go in a room, and I got mum on one side, dad on another. I had to choose who I was going to go and live with. At 11 years old, how do you do that?
Man.
That rips a kid's like heart wide open. So I looked at mum. She had someone. I looked at dad. He looked like he'd aged like 20 odd years. And I chose to go and live with dad.
Wow.
But dad said, look, here's the deal. If you live with me, you're not going to go in a room with that guy ever again.
Gymnastics coach. Yeah,
quit gymnastics.
Oh, God.
So that was...
What a choice.
That was the choice that I had to make. And the weight came back, the emotions were up and down, the mind was up and down. And I remember getting to about 18 years old, hating me, hating this thing that I lived in, hating life. I didn't understand how people could be happy. I just didn't get it. And I did something which, even when I say it now, could be a little bit weird, but back then it was really weird. I went out there and I just started talking to the stars. Talking to something, I said, look, there has to be something out there. Help me. What do I need to do in life to be happy? What do I need to do in life to be in a body that I'm proud of? And the only thing that came back, and it was strong, was go and do what you love. Go and do what you love. And I was like, there's nothing I love. Go and do what you love. I was like, there's nothing I love. Go and do what you love. I said, well, I did love gymnastics at one point. Then go and do that. And I'm looking in the mirror thinking, that's not an athlete. That's not a gymnast. So I went and lost the weight and went and found myself a coach, and I'm training and I'm swinging around this high bar.
Mm-hmm. We've just seen the Olympics. I can't believe people could do that.
It's amazing, hey.
But it is. It looks so dangerous. And I mean, if you miss, your hand just doesn't grip it right, or you know, you're doing those high bars. You're doing that. What do they call it? The
floor, the pommels,
all of that stuff. It looks the rings. It's so goddamn difficult.
Yeah.
For those people that do, and they're professional at it, you kind of wonder, where do you start?
Yeah. Well, I had a good coach.
Yeah.
So I'm swinging around the bar and I piped in, and it wasn't the same guy. I went, they're now happily married. Like, they're still together. And it's a love story. It's a beautiful love story. But I spent 2 years not even being in the same room as him. Wouldn't even speak to the guy. So as I'm swinging around this high bar, I pike in and I relax and I kick. And as I kick to some sort of way from the bar, I let go of the bar a millisecond too late. And you talk about the Olympics, a millisecond can be the difference between gold and silver.
Yeah,
the difference in gold and silver to a lifestyle, to sponsors, to the adoration, absolutely, to being a legend, it's life changing. And that millisecond, I'm thinking I'm somersaulting going away from the bar, but I come back over the bar, land on the bar, collapse in a heap. I'm in and out of consciousness. I wake up in hospital. And as I wake up, I literally turn like you're there. Like I'm looking at my mum and she's broken. And I'm thinking, what the hell's the matter with her? That was my first thought. Not what's the matter with me. I'm like, what's the matter? I said, what's up? And she can't even speak. And this guy comes in and he says, look, we've seen this injury before. No one heals from this injury. You're never going to stand or walk again.
Broken back.
Yeah. And I look at this guy and I look at mum and I'm like, I don't think he knows what he's talking about. Get somebody else in. And here's what I've learned. Energy wins every time. And the energy of these experts saying the same thing, which they all believed was true. But here's what I want to tell you. And I'll ask you this question. Is what they told me, is it a belief system?
Of course it is.
Mm. It's 100% belief system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And mum, I basically.
So where did you break it? Where was.
Right in the middle. Like,
really? Yeah. So did they say you'd never be able to walk again?
They said I'd never stand again.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So what I learned was the most powerful force. It was like life said to me, because here's what I want to say. People watching this, we all go through our challenges in life. We can't avoid problems and challenges in this game of life. And I truly believe that our biggest challenges can now teach us our biggest lessons, and they can give us our biggest blessings if we learn through the challenge, not if we hold on to the challenge. What do most people do? They go through a challenge and they keep repeating it again and again and again. Mm. And the brain doesn't recognize the difference between something that's real and something that's made up, whether it's a memory or an imagination. So if we're going back to memories and we're telling people these poor me victim stories, guess what? We're reliving it.
Yeah.
So we got to stop just doing that stuff, because we're literally puking our problems over other people. Yep. So mum comes in and she says, look, because I didn't want to speak to people, I'd literally stopped eating. I'd given up. All my thoughts were just, how can I end my life? How can I kill myself?
I'm sure.
And a mum, she comes in and she says, look, I didn't give birth to raise a victim. Mm. I don't know why you're here. No one knows why you're here. But I found someone who broke his back. He got told he'd never stand or walk again. He was in traction, you know, in a machine like this, just moving, right, to keep the circulation going up and down the body. And he recovered and went on to inspire millions of people around the world. And I said, who are you talking about? And she goes, Bruce Lee. I says, the movie star. I'm like, come on. They tell him what to say. She goes, no, I found his life story. And she says, I'm going to bring you everything on him, and you're going to start to research him, and you're going to find out how he did it. Because if he did it, there's clues in how he did it. So she starts bringing me everything, and I learned that there's only three ways that any of us can experience life. All of us. Guess what they are?
Go on.
This thing we live in through the body, our mind. And what's the third thing?
I don't know.
Soul.
Yeah, our soul, our spirit. So we're a mind, body, spirit. So I'm like, okay, well, the body's broken. So if I can get my mind and I start believe, because all I was telling myself, I'm never going to stand again. I'm never going to walk again. I just want to kill myself. I want to end this. Ugh. You know, it was like this every day, every day, yeah. every day. And it was hell. Mm. And when you have hope, it changes everything. It just gave me, I thought, and I had this saying, I put it in front of me every single day, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're probably right. And every thought I had before was, I can't, I can't, I can't. And I thought, if I just get rid of the T and I just say I can, I've got nothing to lose here. Let's just try a bit of hope. Let's try see where this is going to go. Sure. And here's what I learned. So I started studying Bruce Lee like crazy. I started studying the ascended masters that he studied, like the Buddha, Confucius, like these masters on this planet where their teachings are around thousands of years. They're still just as powerful now. Mm. And I learned some simple things. This thing that we live in, so if you touch it, can you touch it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Listen to this. This is 0.0001% of what we are. 99.999999999% of what we are is energy, frequencies, and vibrations. Now, I don't want to freak anyone out.
No, I like this. Go
if
on.
We talk, if we listen to Einstein, if we listen to Nikola Tesla, and they say that you want life to open up in the most coolest ways, you've got to start to understand energy, frequencies, vibrations. So I'm like, hang on a minute. If I'm this energy, but they're telling me that this thing is broken, that's physical. And if that's the small percent of what we are, and I change my belief system, and I understand that this intelligence knows what to do. Like, as I said, you don't get confused. You don't wake up with eye cells in your pants.
Yeah.
It's the mind can get confused, but the cells don't. So I'm thinking, right, if I let this do what it can do, and I start to get out of the way and stop putting in negative thoughts. Because let me ask you a question. Can your mind make you happy?
Of course it can.
Can it make you sad?
Of course.
Can it make you rich?
Yes.
Can it make you poor?
Yes.
Can it make you well?
Of course.
Can it make you ill?
Yes.
So we've got to learn how to use it properly, because it can do all of these things. Yeah. So if we don't get control of the mind and we allow the mind to control us, we're freaking screwed. Totally screwed. So I started to get in control of the mind. And what we now know, according to the psychological model and the studies are out there, 90% of most people's thoughts in the modern world, what do you think they are, positive or negative?
No, they're negative.
Boom. See, you know, we all know.
And that's
this
why
stuff.
That's why most people are so unhappy.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can't change things in their lives, and they're stuck in victim.
So we can't change just our thoughts, because there's too many negative ones. But if we change our frequency and our energy, that will immediately affect our thoughts.
Leanne sitting there with crossed arms. She doesn't believe you.
No, I'm just wondering how I changed the frequency.
Right, you go and move your body in some ways. So you talked about you playing paddle. When you was playing that paddle, I guarantee you weren't worried about things that you worry about in life.
I wasn't actually playing, to be honest.
She's sitting on the side. No, but you're right. Like moving. I mean, we've already seen what endorphins and energy can do.
Yeah.
It tells your mind that in your body that you're alive.
Yeah.
You know, there was something interesting.
The body was created to move. It's meant to move.
There's something interesting behind this as well. My father's in hospital at the moment with he's just had he's one of 100 people in the world to have a certain device connected to his heart. And when he came out of this operation, he had suicidal thoughts for a long time. Wow. And he said, I just pull the plugs. I don't want to live.
Yeah.
This is the end. I'm dying. Mm. And apparently with a lot of heart patients, what happens is once the functioning of your heart is taken over by another machine, like an ECMO or something like that, in order to perform the heart surgery, your brain believes that it doesn't need to beat anymore and doesn't need to live anymore.
Wow.
So for a long time, these patients who've had major heart surgery for months can believe that they are dying, even though they're not physically, they're fine.
Wow. Well, listen to this for science. You talk
again
about the heart.
Power of the mind, right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So when we're in our heart, when we're genuinely in our heart, I'm talking about with unconditional love, not with love that's got conditions, mm-hmm. we're 5,000 times stronger magnetically, which means what? We can start to pull things like a magnet into our reality, opportunities, people, relationships, adventures, just by being truly in our heart. Listen to this one. We're 100,000 times stronger electrically when we're on our heart. We're an electrical being. We're on the hunt for electricity and energy 24/7. We want to change any area of our life. It's going to take one thing, energy, but the right energy, not a negative energy. a positive, creative energy. So yeah, so getting back to the story. So yeah, lots of sidebars going on here. So I start having hope. I start believing that I'm going to stand again and I'm going to walk again. And I don't want to sound too crazy, but let me just bring in a little bit of common sense.
Okay.
We've all got smartphones.
Yeah.
Now, on this smartphone, if I said to you, right, Gareth, I'll give you the best smartphone and I'll keep updating it. You're only allowed one smartphone in your life. You're not allowed to use anybody else's phone. It's your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep updating it. But you're never allowed to connect to 3G, 4G, 5G or Wi-Fi. Would you want that phone?
Well, not really.
Of course you wouldn't.
I mean, you might as well have a calculator.
Exactly. Or, yeah. So yeah, why do you want this? Because we want to get connected. Connection. Now, what's one of the first things you do when you go around someone's house? Well, I just did it when
what's
I came into the studio.
What's the Wi-Fi password?
What's the Wi-Fi code? Because you want to get connected to more than this.
Yeah.
Now, if we're trapped in the mind and the body, which I was, life is hell. If we can connect to our spirit, which will always force us outside of our comfort zone, then we start receiving in these higher frequencies. And what are we receiving? What's going to make your life better? What's going to make the great, you know, life better for other people? And new ideas start to come in. So I start connecting to this stuff. And it's just like connecting to the Wi-Fi of the whole universe. Anybody can connect to it. And that's why I love running these events around the world, because we don't talk about it like here. We actually connect people to what I call this supercharged frequency. In this frequency,
I want to ask you something, because this came up in conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. Where does the change happen? And how do you get that change to happen? The moment where you realized like you could harness the power of your mind and your attitude and the spirit. And it all sounds ridiculous to people who are stuck in a terrible situation, but you were in a terrible situation. I mean, you got a broken back. You're not going to walk again. Everybody's telling you that's the end. You might as well just give up. You're not going to stand.
I did give up.
Nothing.
Yeah.
How and when can you actually pinpoint when the change happened?
Yeah. When mum came in and didn't give up, it was like the love that I felt from her, that unconditional love, changed everything. Changed everything.
How old were you then?
18.
18.
So now, no, sorry, 17 at the time. Now, what's super cool is what I do now. So I you know, talk all around the world. I get on the biggest stages around the world. And I was going around the world, seeing my mum getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, losing her eyesight, high cholesterol, low blood pressure, diabetes. She couldn't walk from here to there without being in serious pain. And I'm like, mum, you're not going to believe this. Out in Asia, they started calling me the miracle man. I know. What do you think got me walking again, mum? And cutting a long story short. So I'll get back to my story, but with mum, because I felt this unconditional love and she gave me all this hope, all I had to do was get mum in our environment where we do the teachings, because our environment shaped us more than anything. And we had, so at 69, she was dying. 3-4 weeks ago, I took a skydiving.
Wow.
And how old is she now?
81.
Oh my God. Your mother
off
went skydiving at 81.
Our energy has no age. Like, this stuff is so cool.
That's amazing. All right. So you look, when people talk about, oh, well, this sounds like woo woo nonsense. There's an 81 year old woman who went skydiving. I mean, how much more proof do you need?
Yeah, exactly. And to a point where, as I said, she could, now she's pain free, not on any drugs, perfect eyesight, mental clarity. Like, she is sharp as you can. She ever was, has been. So going back to when I'm now starting to have hope, but I'm now plugging in to these higher streams of consciousness, which is only as weird as someone plugging into Wi-Fi. If I tried to explain Wi-Fi to you 50 years ago, you'd have thought I was a freak.
Absolutely.
Now, if you're not plugging into Wi-Fi, you're a freak, because you're not going to access everything that's online, you know, whether it's information, download, documents, social media, you can, you know, phone loved ones, video in real time, anywhere around the world now. It's phenomenal. But that's just being done because of satellites. We created the satellites. What created us? Now, let me ask you a bit of common sense. When we were all cute, cuddly little babies, Can newborn babies raise themselves on this planet?
No.
No chance.
They need a mum, they need a dad, they need
love,
nutrition,
yeah,
they
all
need
of that
love.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you this question. How do you have the first newborn baby on the planet? You can't. So we're created by an intelligence beyond this planet. We're created by the star system and this planet. And we are, let me ask you another question. Do you believe that you're a human being and every now and again you might get to have a spiritual experience, or do you ultimately believe that you're now a spiritual being who's now having a human experience?
Oh, well, I mean, that's one of the big questions, right? I mean, this is something that if you've ever actually sat and had a meaningful conversation with somebody you've known a long time, this is bound to come up.
Yeah.
And you think, well, I think I'd like to be a spiritual being having a human experience where this life that we're in, this mortal life, is just a small piece
of
a much bigger puzzle.
Of course. It's
but
sure.
I think most of us feel like it's true, even if it isn't, that we're just humans having a spiritual experience.
Well, you can't kill an energy. Energy can only transform from one form to another. And we're made of energy. The whole planet is made of energy. So we know that we're only going to be in this life for a short time period. We know that. So while we're here, if we wake up, and this is what these ascended masters talked about, and the time that we're going through now in human history, some call it the golden age, some call it the age of Aquarius, it's the age where we can actually become these creators and be aware that we're all creating our own realities, whether we know it or not. But we can start to create a reality where instead of living a life of miracle, misery, we can literally start living a life of miracles.
So what do you attribute this to? Or what's the belief system? Because so many people need a structure.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
We need a kind of a jungle gym to swing on.
Yeah.
A gymnastics
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Arrangement. You need to move the body around something. And if what you're saying is true, and I have no doubt that there is a huge possibility that everything you've said is actually fundamentally true, it's difficult to prove some of this stuff. And people who are going through a really difficult time like you were when you were 17, they don't want to believe that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's much easier to just go, oh, it's all against me. It's tough. It's hard. Woe is me. Feel sorry for myself, because you get sympathy from people. You don't have to live up to anything.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of people feel comfortable
in
their misery.
And I know when I went through depression, I didn't want to get out of it. Everyone around me was trying to do everything they could to help. And it just bounced off me. And I wanted to stay depressed. It was what the mind was doing. The mind was in control. The mind for me was the trap.
Yeah.
And what we got to do is just focus the mind on what's going to allow us to become the next best versions of ourselves. Now, for some people, that's still too far in the distance. So if I go back to me where I'm just having hope, first of all, we have to understand this. What we absorb is what we become. Food, information, TV shows. You know, if you're watching drama all the time, guess what? Your whole life's going to be drama. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. And whereas if we start watching stuff and reading stuff and listening to stuff that allows our human consciousness to start to evolve, then a year from now, we can be radically different beings, like radically different. So for me, this, just as I'm downloading information and I start accessing what I truly believe is the stuff that these ascended masters were accessing, this intelligence literally just said, today you're going to stand and walk. And I was like, what? And I was like, I'm not going to give you resistance because I want to believe in something.
Sure, of course.
How? And it was like, don't worry about how. You don't even know how your heart's beating. And I was like,
that's true.
That's so true. I haven't got a clue how my heart's beating. And it was like, trust me. I was like, all right.
You don't think I'm going to lift my arm, right? You just lift your arm.
Exactly. So kind of long story short, that day when I stood and I had people holding me up, was the day that I learned gratitude, because there was a belief that I'd never believe that I was going to stand or walk again. And they were like, let's skip, you know, let's get you back in the machine now. And I was like, I said, hang on. I said, I know you guys think I'm crazy. I said, but this thing said, I'm going to walk today. And I just looked up and I just said, I don't know what you are, but I believe in you. I freaking love you because you got me standing. you said we're going to walk, and I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm ready. Use me like a puppet. And I swear to God, this energy came in, and for me, they were like giant leaps. I mean, each step was probably about that big.
Yeah.
But the leg moved enough for me to call it a step, and I took three steps. And I remember looking at mum, like, you know, she was crying. I was crying, and I was like, I walked.
But did it just incrementally improve over a period of time?
Yeah, so bit by bit. Now, here's what I want to say. It's like this. If you've got kids and you put them on a merry-go-round, to push it, to start it, it's hard to get that momentum going. But when you get it going, you just need one hand to keep it going. So to begin with, so the next day I took six steps, the next day 12, the next day none. But bit by bit, it was like up and down, up and down, up and down, until eventually I'm walking without the aid of anything or anyone.
Amazing.
I'm able to start, you know, climbing stuff, crawling on stuff, you know, doing what this body was naturally designed to do. And I sat down with mum and she says, listen, we've just experienced a miracle. You're independent again now. You can feed yourself. You can bathe yourself. You can look after yourself. What do you want to do with yourself? Now, this is the question that I want to ask everyone who's watching, who's in a down spot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you love? Because that was a question that kept coming to me. What do you love? What do you love? Go and do what you love. And at the time, I was like, there's nothing I love. There's nothing I love. What do you love? We all had stuff when we were children that we loved. Go and find to do that, because most people are now sacrificing their time for money.
Mm-hmm.
And guess when most people, and the first sign of a heart attack now, we're talking about hearts. The first sign of a heart attack now is the heart attack. There's no precursor.
Yeah.
So guess when most people around the world have heart attacks? There are studies done. There's a specific day and a specific time when most people have heart attacks. 8:30 Monday morning.
No, right now.
Guess what most people are doing at that point? Going to work.
Oh, my God.
So their work literally kills them. If you don't put love into what you do, think about a newborn baby. If it isn't given enough love, it doesn't live.
Yeah. It won't make
so it. We're meant to be these loving beings. That's what makes the human race human, not AI. It's the love that we feel, the love that we get to give. But most people are going to try and get love, whereas if we truly want to feel it, you have to give it. But who's the first person we got to give it to? Ourselves. So as I'm learning to self-love in ways that I'd never, because I just judged myself. I didn't want to look in a mirror.
But I hated
what I was looking at.
So after you've started to walk in little bits and pieces, and you slowly can do more and more things, you then decide that's not enough, and you are actually going to enter competitions and I'm skipping ahead by quite a long way here, but I mean that's a big deal. I'd be happy with just walking, but not you.
Well, it wasn't coming, because here's the thing: if we just go with personal will, then we're driven by the mind and we're limited, because everything in the mind comes from the past. If we open up to this divine will, then new things will start to breathe through us. So I learned to trust this. Why? Because it got me standing, it got me walking, it got me free. And that's when mum said, what do you want to do with your life? And I asked myself, what do I love? And the only thing that I loved was what?
Gymnastics.
So I don't even say anything. She looks at me, she goes, you better not be thinking what I think you're thinking. And I said, what? She goes, you're thinking about going back to gymnastics. I was like, what if I am? She was like, are you crazy? Why would you want to go back?
Because that's where you hurt yourself in the first place.
Yeah, well, that's what she said. She says, why would you want to go back? I said, look, mum, this stuff that I'm plugging into, this is guiding me to go back. And back then she said, I think you might want to change your frequency. I was like, no. I said, I'm telling you. I said, mum, I don't have fear. You do. And I was passionate about it. And here's the thing. There's no drug on this planet. There's no substance. There's no drink. There's no food that can electrify us like passion. When we're passionate about what we do, this whole thing gets electrified in ways that just gives us life at the highest levels. So I was passionate about it. I loved it. And she said to me, I said, you got fear. What's your fear? She goes, well, what if you break your back again? I said, I know how to fix it. I had no fear. So here's what I did. I had to go and find myself a world-class coach, because with a good coach, I had an accident.
Sure.
I wanted a, I found myself a world champion coach from Bulgaria, which is where you're from.
Okay, amazing.
His name was Svetozar Didiaskov. He was a world champion, two-times European champion. And we started working together. And 18 months after working together, I'm stood on the podium and they give me the gold medal for the English Sports Acrobatics Championship.
Jesus, that's insane.
Now, as
by the way, there are a lot of people in the comments here saying, oh, you know, this sounds like religious woo-woo stuff. There's somebody here who said that's like televangelism. I mean, do you want to respond to that quickly? Because I think it's interesting to hear the story, even if you don't necessarily believe in any of this stuff.
Yeah.
To refute the fact that this guy objectively, scientifically, had, there's evidence that he had broken his back, and then there's evidence that he won a gold medal a couple of months later. And you've got to at least be a little curious how he got from this point to that point, no matter what you believe. Right? And that's where I'm coming at this from.
So first of all, I'm not religious in any way. So there's none of that weird religious stuff going on. Okay. I'm very spiritual. I will always plug into spirit all the time.
Sure.
And as they put that gold medal over my head, here's what I thought. If I believed what these medical experts told me, I'd still be a victim. I'd still be in that machine. I'd still be given up on life. I'd still be just consumed with thoughts of how do I kill myself?
Yeah.
And when I came, you know, people came up to me and went, you know, this is unbelievable. You know, you were told you'd never stand or walk again. And you're now an English champion. How did you do it? Now, imagine this 30 years ago, because I'm 51 years old now. So I said, guys, we got this game of life wrong. We think we're living in a physical reality. We're not. We're living in a simulation that's designed to give us an experience in these human bodies. And we got to understand energy, frequencies, and vibrations. If we just listen to Nikola Tesla, Einstein, they all said, you want life to open up. You got to start understanding energy, frequencies, and vibrations. And I'd go on a rant and I'd suddenly look at people and they were suddenly looking at me before when they knew, never being told he's going to stand or walk again to English champion. Their eyes were lighting up. They were starry-eyed. As soon as I started talking about energy, frequencies, and vibrations, the same stuff was what's coming on here. Hey, Skip's got a great story, but this dude's off with the freaking fairies, right? So what happened? I stopped talking about it. Now, here's what's super cool. I took that. That's like me accessing the World Wide Web and nobody else around is accessing it. I'd go around and I'd be able to access stuff, download stuff. People think I'm a genius because I can recall any bit of information right in my hands. I took it into the business world knowing nothing about business. And over 25 years ago, we did our first £1 million. And now, and God knows how many tens of millions, you know, we've created since. And now we're teaching people how to be happy, healthy, and wealthy by doing what? Adding more value to themselves and adding more value to other people. And it's the best life to live.
Now that is an important part of this, right? Is like, the adding value to other people too, because people often when they're in a very bad situation are so self-absorbed.
Yeah.
And you, who could blame you, right?
Yeah.
You're thinking, oh, my back is broken, or you're thinking I have no money, or you're thinking I'm so goddamn unhealthy, or I've got like a lot of sadness and difficulty in my life. So you start thinking you the whole time. And the moment you change that and start thinking about the rest of the world and other people, it gets better automatically. It's like,
but we have to, you know, fill our cup moving up your body first. So when you're talking about being a victim, I mean, it must have been horrible for Mum, because she was coming in and I was like, Mum, give up on me. Forget you ever had a son. You have to imagine that your son is now dead. I don't want you to come and visit me. Don't speak to me. Look at this. This is, I don't want to be here. If you want to help me, kill me. Now, for a mum to receive horrible stuff like that.
Awful. Yeah. What a shit son you were.
Yeah, I was. Horrible. But now, with what I learned, it's now added at least 30 years to the way my mum lives. At least.
Well, speaking of 30 years, I mean, you say you're 51.
Yeah.
That's damn good for 51. Huh? Yeah, hell, you get it. Just for that reason, I'd be interested to know what your secrets are.
Yeah.
So, you're doing this talk at Gallagher Estate on the 14th. And Jesus, when was that?
A couple of years ago. That's okay, well, Valis, one of our retreats.
Very impressive. I mean, my whole pelvis would break. But you're doing this thing at Real Success South Africa, which is the 14th and 15th of September at Gallagher Estate. You can find out more. We will put all the details in the description. But apparently, you're also a big believer in hypnotherapy.
Well, I trained in, I'm a master prac in hypnotherapy, timeline therapy, and NLP.
That's neuro-linguistic programming.
Right. I had to unlearn all of that stuff to do what I do now.
Oh, why? Okay.
Because that stuff was getting me stuck in the mind.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you break
good stuff?
So you break out of the body into the mind, then you break out of the mind into the spirit. Is that the kind of ascending?
Yeah, because all the super cool thing about this is now with AI technology, we don't have to remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just use the AI. Yeah. It's there.
Does it for you?
Yeah, it does it for us. There's no point in going to just study stuff to just regurgitate it when it's just there at our fingertips.
Right.
So then what do we want to use our mind to be creative, to focus on stuff that you love? Because when you love something, guess what? Time disappears.
Mm-hmm.
If you hate something, a minute can last, hours and hours. So we've got to start to understand, why are we here? We're not on this planet just because your mum and dad had a little bit of fun and you popped out. Let's get clear. There's a hell of a lot more intelligence going on. When we start to understand and we truly believe that we are here in this game of life, and forget what anyone's beliefs are. Everyone who thinks I'm a crackpot.
No, a lot of them love you, but there's some nice comments here too. Don't worry. I'm just picking on the grumpy people.
But here's the thing. When you get to a certain point, you don't care what comes back. You go out there and you give good.
Right.
Like, it's like this. Think about the sun. The sun shines all the time. The sun shines on everyone, all the bad people, all the good people. Do you think the sun cares what people do on the planet?
No.
So when we start to shine like the sun and we've given to ourselves, we give to this body, we learn how to give it good thoughts. We learn how to give it good nutrition. We learn how to give it good vibes, good energy. And then that comes out of us and we go and give that to other people. And we go out there and we understand that the secret of living is giving.
Yeah.
So when we give to ourselves first and then we give, guess what? It doesn't matter what comes back.
Because
you
really
get to feel good in what you're giving other people.
Do you really think, though, that everybody's capable of this?
100%.
There aren't just...
I came from a background where we didn't have, you know, money. I came from a background where this body was breaking down. And I remember even as a child, I used to look at, like, you know, other people in my family, think, you know, why am I the only one who's got all this stuff? Mm. Nobody else has got any conditions. I'm the one who's got it all. And this tiny voice said, you're having everything now so that you're never going to have to deal with this ever again. And ironically, what I see now is as people get older and older and older, they're breaking down. And people say, but as you get older, you break down. I'm like, rubbish. You only break down if you're getting toxic, because toxic will, like, rust us from the inside out. Or it's like a muscle. If you want to build a muscle, you got to put some pressure on it.
Mm.
You know, diamonds are only shaped under pressure.
Right.
So if we can put the right pressure on us, not stress, because stress will release cortisol, that's a stress hormone, and that will literally poison us from the inside out. If we can start to release these toxins, because a lot of us create these habits where acid is going in the body, and that acid breaks us down. And you just have to look, fast food, acid, caffeine, acid, toxic thoughts, acid. So all of this acid, and people think it's normal. They only think it's normal because they see other people living in those ways. So when people come into our environments, and we're actually doing one this weekend, it's actually a 3-day event called Supercharger Life. We're doing it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Monte Casino, where I'm taking people in to this supercharged frequency. Because only when it's like now, if I tried to explain Wi-Fi to you 30 years ago, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
Whereas if I show you how to access it and you start playing.
So how easy is it to access?
It's as easy as you breathing.
Really?
Yes. But I don't know why this stuff has been blocked from people, why they're not teaching this stuff in schools and people aren't being educated by this. I have no clue why. But I've just discovered it. And for me not to share it, I'm not playing my part in the game of life. But here's what I do want to say. I stopped sharing it because people thought I was weird. So I stopped talking about it. And it was about 15 years ago, someone said to me, Skip, will you come and do a talk?
Yeah.
And I said, no, I tried that stuff and people thought I was weird. And my job, I was bringing acrobatics to some of the biggest shows. So we were doing, you know, contracts with like the Royal Opera House, the Royal Albert Hall. If rock stars and pop stars were putting 8 to 100,000 people in a stadium, my job was to bring the acrobatics. We were doing like West End shows, big TV commercials. Yeah. Like we monopolized the industry. And I loved it. And I was like, I don't want to go and talk to people. They just think I'm weird. I said, look at my life. I freaking love it. It's a great life. And this person said, Skip, with what you know from where you've come from, if you don't share this wisdom with people, because people are now drowning in this information, but they're starving of wisdom. And they said, if you don't share this wisdom with people, you're not playing your part in the game of life. And it went in and I thought, all right, I said, I'll make a deal with you. If I get on stage and I start talking about this stuff and people think I'm weird, I will literally just walk off stage. I said, because I don't care what people think of me. I really don't. I said, I'll walk off stage. I said, but if you say that they want it, I'll give it a shot. And I did that talk. I got a standing ovation, did another one, got another standing ovation. And it led to me being asked to then put a workshop together, then an event together. And now
how long have you been doing this?
So now we've been doing it behind the scenes for 15 years. And we're doing it with movie stars, celebrities, world famous CEOs, world champion athletes. Like we're attracting no marketing. How?
Yeah.
Remember that magnetic pull that I told you? We're starting to magnetize and pull people into this.
I mean, this is true just as it is for the physical body. Like the idea that people think, you know, if I just figure out what to sell someone or how to sell it, like that's not how you're going to get rich either, right?
Well, you'll get rich as in you'll get the money in your account.
Yeah.
But you've got to look at who are you becoming through that. And there's lots and lots of businesses out there where their products are doing people more harm than good. So we have to understand one thing. Planet Earth was designed as a planet of contrast.
What do you mean by that?
How do you have love without fear? How do you have up without down? How do you have black without white?
Right.
We're living in duality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just got to choose what path we want to go down. So we're not going to change the world. Yeah. It's impossible. You're billions of people on there. If anyone thinks they can change the world, they're living an illusion. All we have to be able to change is ourselves. If we change ourselves in positive ways, and then you're the living, breathing proof. Because it's like what you said, when people say, well, I don't believe your stuff works. I'm like, I'm 51 years old. I've got more energy than most teenagers. I'm still doing all the same gymnastic stuff at 51 as what I was doing back then. I was training 8 hours back then. How?
Yeah.
Because I'm plugging into something that most people, if they're not plugging into it, they're just missing out.
I see Ruth saying here, I love that truth that we're spiritual beings having a physical experience.
Yeah.
So I think some of these words are definitely hit home. I mean, Leanne's going to start gymnastics from tomorrow.
Yep. I'm picking up my gymnastics tights on the way home.
But here's what I want to say. Well, come and join me then. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, here's what I want to say. What happens when we do move? Because do we want strength in life? Yes or no? We need it because life's going to hit us. And if we haven't got strength, it's going to
knock
us
back. Who wants weakness in life? Yeah.
Do we want balance? We have to have balance.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want flexibility? Absolutely. Sure. Look at people now. They're getting in their 40s. I know people in their 20s that are moving. Oh my God.
Yeah. Pain.
You show me a child where that happens. Doesn't exist. Now you show me a child that who taught you to walk?
Well, no you one. Sort of watch other...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You see it and you can then achieve it.
Correct.
Now, as we learned to walk, what happened? You stood up and you fell down. Stood and you fell down. How many times do we get knocked down in life, but we stand up and we complain about what's happened? You show me a child that when it falls down, show me a child that stands up and complains, I fell down again. Can't believe it. Like, doesn't happen.
No, they generally laugh about it, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So we've... All this stuff, kids. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do kids move their bodies more than most adults?
Yes.
Yep. Do they have a lot more energy more than most adults? Yeah. Do they speak the truth more than most adults?
Yes.
Do they have a lot more joy and happiness compared to most adults? Yeah, do they learn faster compared to most adults, especially when it comes to a device like this?
Oh, yeah.
Do they have bigger dreams more than most adults?
Yes.
If you put kids and with other kids, do they just go and buddy up and start playing without all the judgment?
Yeah, straight away.
So who taught the kids that stuff?
They didn't.
No
have
one.
To. They didn't
all
have to
of
learn.
This stuff is in built in us. But as we go through life, we start forgetting that stuff. So we start to get programmed.
So we become shit, and that's why we die. So start being more like kids.
100%.
I think that's good.
100%. But not be childish, amazing. But to be childlike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I watched kids yesterday because we had a family lunch thing, and I watched them in the beginning. They sort of check each other out, but within half an hour, they're all playing and having the best time and running and jumping and always, as you say, physically active. And I don't know why the adults think it's more fun to sit around and look at each other.
Stuck in the heads, stuck with the programs. We're meant to be active. Right. We're meant to be happy. We're meant to be wealthy. We're meant to be healthy.
I think you're right. And I don't disagree, by the way, there's going to be a lot of people who will think this is odd, but I don't disagree with anything you've said. Not a single thing. And I think that there are people who the rest of humanity looks at and goes, oh, well, they've got some secret. They've discovered some special hidden power that the rest of us don't have. Everybody has this.
Yeah, it's all within us. Okay, everything we need is within us.
I love this. And I think you can either choose to go this way or you can choose to keep on being miserable. And, you know, if that's what you choose, fine. Then I don't know what to do for you. I don't know what to say to you.
And you can't help people if they don't want to be helped.
Yeah.
You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it.
Well, I love this. And I'm very, very happy to meet you. I'm glad you got to come and spend some time with us this morning. And there are loads of people here who are thrilled with what you're saying. And I'm sure many of them will want to come to your shows. So you're doing Monte Cassino and you're doing Gallagher.
Yeah.
We'll put all the details in the descriptions. But thank you, Skip. What a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you. Yeah. Thank you.
And I'm telling you, Leanne's thinking seriously about the gymnastics now.
I've already moved on to the color ribbon.
See, it starts in the mind first. That's a good first step. We like it.
I love it. Yep. All right. We will see you on Wednesday morning, everybody. Have an awesome Monday and a happy spring. It's just started.